We're going live?
Live, living large. No. Living color.
Living color.
Yeah, Randy's not here.
Yeah. So. Right. It can only be large when Randy is here.
That's right. Large. Bye, Jerry.
Bye, Jerry.
Bye, Jerry's friend.
Bye, Fran.
Fran. Well, we're at Traeger's once again, and you know, I don't really know what to say or what to do. In all honesty, I'm just
have a drink.
I do have that.
Yeah.
And I'm trying not to hold it because I have a hot little hand. It melts the ice too quick, and then the gin dilutes, and
you know,
that's not a good thing.
That's why I don't put ice in it.
Yeah, but you put water in it.
Yeah.
That's the same thing.
Not really. So ice...
Not really. Ice is not water?
Makes it cold, and I can't taste it as much.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, see, I prefer cold.
I know. That's an American thing. So I want everything room temperature. We don't have an ice maker in the house.
That's European thing, is room temperature.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Beer is even...
Yeah.
And see, I don't... No, I can't...
Yeah.
I can't... It'd have to be some really good beer for me to drink it at room temperature. I'm telling you right now. Period. But, you know, I like good beer, so if it's good, I'll try it.
It reduces the amount of whatever's in there that you can taste, ice does.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. So you don't quite get the full bang for your buck.
It's my understanding, because I drink cold water in the morning, even when it's, you know, minus 10 degrees outside.
Yeah.
But it's my understanding that, you know, that cold, it burns calories because it has to heat it up to digest it.
I think I've heard that. I don't know if it's true, but I think I've heard that. Yeah.
I'm making that it is.
It's definitely true. You heard it here. Right. We have confirmed it.
Well, listen, you know, we were talking about a subject for today. I love all of these that we've talked about. I'm kind of coming off of a pickup strategy thing on the other program that I was on, but I also like this absentee father. This is kind of scary. Because I kind of was one. Is mine's kind of a strange one,
right?
And I understand yours is stranger than mine. I mean, not that we're having a pissing match. That's not the deal. It's that because I know you well enough now.
Right.
I know you have regrets.
Oh,
I know
God,
you
yes.
do.
Yeah.
And it's kind of hard to suck those up sometimes.
Yeah.
Really hard.
Yeah, especially when you get right with yourself, right?
Because
some people
do that first.
Yeah, some people, even in my situation, I'm not completely unique in this world. And I know there's got to be other guys in the same similar situation, but they will live in a reality that I understand now isn't exactly rooted in truth, you know? Because it's one-sided.
Yeah.
It's a one-sided reality. So, I mean, the idea was that my first wife, she was massive bipolar. And we didn't know that she was bipolar until she was trying to drive off of the bridge in Virginia with the children in the van.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Was this the one that I saw on the news? Did this make headlines, world news?
No, but it was pretty drastic. So she was admitted to a mental institution and went through a full program in there. And then they diagnosed her as bipolar, manic depressive, and put her on a prescription for one of a few, or maybe even a couple of antipsychotic drugs, like Prozac or something like that.
Sure.
She was just that. So if any tiny thing went wrong, the world was ending, and if you were the thing that caused that tiny thing
it's
being
all
wrong,
your fault.
Then you are the worst person that's ever lived.
And mark of the beast.
The upside is that, which may have been, you know, I've looked through this because my second wife was also manic depressive, and I stay pretty even keel. So the upside is what might have attracted me to her, in that the upside is awesome. You know, when things are going great, they're like really great. You know, this is the best day ever. And then it can just turn in a heartbeat. It's like really confusing and it's tough to deal with. So anyway, that was her. And we ended up, she had two children. One of them she got pregnant with when we first started kind of playing with each other. So she, there
you
was
mean like literally?
Yeah, there okay. was a consideration that it might be mine. And that's when we officially...
Oh, so you didn't wrap that
right.
rascal.
So that's when we officially started dating. She got pregnant, might be mine, all right, we're in this thing. And so I was there with her through the pregnancy and that's actually a funny side story, because turns out it wasn't mine, but I didn't care. So
what's your?
She had a little boy when I met her. He was maybe two or something. He was a couple of years old. He was walking around, but he was real little. And so then she gets pregnant, and it could be mine. So I go through the pregnancy. We're at the hospital. She's gonna have this baby, and she's white. Her preference in men is black. And I am white.
This is like a sitcom.
You know exactly where this is going, right? Yeah. So,
oh my God, you're the one they make the memes about.
I know. So I'm there. This assuming white couple is in the hospital together, and she's giving birth, and the doctor is delivering this baby, and I'm super excited because I have never seen this before. I had this traditional view of the husband, the man gets pushed off into the waiting room, and the woman gets shoved off into a delivering room when it's time. And no, I'm just hanging out, and they're like, this is happening now. Yeah. And so like seats, cushions are coming off the bed, and the stirrups are folding out, and things are coming out of the wall. And I'm like, what is happening? You're doing this with me right here? Oh my God. And so, yeah, so they did it right there, and the doctor delivers this baby, and I'm just way excited. Like, this is the most amazing thing I have ever witnessed.
So cool.
It was so freaking cool. And I'm just looking like, that is freaking cool. There's a little baby right there. And the doctor's looking at this baby.
Nappy-headed.
I don't know what Kim, that's her name, I don't know what she's doing, but apparently her face was all screwed up because she was hoping that it was mine.
Oh,
very
gosh.
Obviously was not my baby.
Yeah. I gotcha.
So I don't know that she's got this like really distressed look on her face, and the doctor doesn't know why she has that distressed look on her face, just knows that she has a distressed look on her face,
so
and I am standing right next to her, not paying attention to her, looking at this baby, completely oblivious to him, oblivious, going, oh my God, that
it's
is the
baby.
Most amazing thing. That's awesome. And he's looking at her and looking at me and like looking at the baby like, dude, do you not see what's happening right now? That was awesome. But yeah, oh my God, I love that little girl. I think that was the nail right there. I think that was the thing that made me marry her mom. That is that little girl.
Was that little baby?
Yeah. Oh, she was amazing.
Now, do you still keep up with the little girl?
Not those two. It's Patrick and Kendra. So she named her after me. So her name is Kendra. I was the first one to hold her, and she was my little baby doll, man. And so then I was in the Air Force at the time. That was all happening in Idaho, and I got stationed in Virginia, and I missed my baby girl.
Sure.
You know, and so I told her mom, I was like, hey, I'm going to Nellis Air Force Base in Nevada, and it's right outside of Vegas. I'm like, hey, drive down to Vegas and we'll get married, man. And so she did. She drove down from Boise to Vegas, met me there. We got married, and then I flew back to Virginia, and she drove back to Boise, and then I was like, all right, I have to get my baby out here. So, and my baby was the baby, not my baby. So, I flew back out to Idaho, grabbed that little girl, and took her back with me to Virginia.
without her mom?
Yeah, I was a little enlisted guy. I didn't have any money, you know? So I could afford a ticket where she's, I think it was like she could be in my seat because I was just holding her.
Right.
She was like little bitty. And so I took her out to Virginia with me, and it was just her and I in my bachelor pad. It was amazing. And so it was her and I for the longest time. And then Kim and Patrick had to figure a way to get to Virginia. So they took a train. They went into D.C. I had to drive up there and get them. And that was a whole other insane story of the day they arrived in D.C. and me picking them up in a borrowed pickup truck and running out of gas and not bringing cash and only having a checkbook that no one will take and having this baby. And, it was just a mess. But anyway, got them back to Virginia, and then we decided to have my son. So that was actually a conversation that we had of she wanted a baby with me, and I'm like, okay, let's do it. And so we planned him and had him. And the weird thing is, you know, that blood is thicker than water kind of thing.
It's supposed to be, yeah.
It's supposed to be. It doesn't really hold up. So Kim had really long labors. So she, like, I'm talking like 36 hours, that kind of labors. And so it was about that. It was like 36 hours, something like that, that she was in labor with Kendra. And I was there, like wide awake, fully on top of everything. Like, what's happening? What's going on? What's going on? And so I had already been through that process. So when my own son that we planned out is being born, it's time for that. I'm like, all right, let's get you to the hospital. And I'm like, I know this is going to be a long process right here. And so they had the birthing rooms. It's like a hotel suite, you know? And so they had a little couch over there. So I curled up on the couch and went to sleep.
Waiting on the kid.
I know, the doctor had to wake me up to tell me my son was being born. Also with Kendra, when she was a little baby, I would hear her across the house move in the crib. And I was awake, like, in an instant. Like, oh, my God, what's going on? And I would run in there and look over the crib at her. Is she okay? And I was just doting over her. And then my son could be in the same bed with us, screaming his head off. And I'm snoring. I'm just sawing logs.
This is the second one. Is
yeah, I know. So I guess I'm like, yeah, this is old news. Been through this before.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird. But yeah, he was awesome, man. He was so funny. Josh is his name. So Josh, he was a super funny kid and like really, really energetic and the whole thing. So he's the youngest of three children now. And then his mom and I end up getting a divorce not long after he was born. And so we're still living in Virginia and we're still doing all that kind of thing. I end up meeting another woman and then a couple years later, she retires from the Air Force. I get out of the Air Force after 10 years and we move to Georgia while Kim is moving with the kids back to Idaho.
The second woman you met was in the Air Force like you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so I met her because I worked in the same building as her. And so I would see her, and I was going through this divorce, which was, in a small, small way, world-ending for me. Like, you're not supposed to get a divorce.
No.
You know?
Yeah.
And that was really tearing me up. And so I was a smoker. She was a smoker. I would see her walk by my desk and go out and smoke. And so I would see her out there sometimes. And so I just asked her one day, and I overheard conversations she had with coworkers. And we had never spoken before. And so I just asked her one day. I said, hey, it sounds like you've been through a divorce and whatnot. I'm going through one right now. Can we go to coffee or something?
Pick your
and
brain.
Like, yeah, so I can talk to you about this. And she was like, just come over. Come over to the house. So, yeah, she
okay,
just...
Okay, now don't tell me the first time you were over the house.
No,
yeah, okay.
No, it was a really nice experience, though.
Oh,
she,
good.
She, you know, I was feeling lost and kicked out and bruised and all this kind of thing. I instigated the divorce on that thing. Things just got way out of control. So I instigated the divorce. It wasn't like I was truly getting kicked out, you know. But But a thing
but
was.
It feels that way still.
Yeah, I failed.
Yeah.
I failed
yeah,
to keep exactly. a marriage together, is what was happening. And so I wanted to talk to somebody about it. And she could read all this. And through our talking, me at her house and whatnot, through our talking and stuff, she decided, I'm going to give you a mask, a facial mask, right? So she goes scurrying off to the bathroom.
Yeah,
scurrying off to the bathroom, comes back with this stuff and like starts rubbing my face and doing all this stuff and all this kind of thing. And it was like this really intimate moment between strangers, you know, that was not sexual. It was just like
I can relate.
A human showing me some kindness is what it was. And it was just really cool. So it kind of sparked a friendship that later turned into
a romance.
You know, a romance, yeah.
All right, hold on. We're going to take a break, okay?
Oh, okay.
So hold that thought. We're at the point. You ramble a lot.
I know.
When I get you started, it's hard to shut your ass
up.
Hang tight, man.
Got to take a pause for the cause. Funny. I've always wanted to say that. Sit tight. David and Ken will return before you know it.
Traeger's offers specialty drinks, classic libations, domestic and craft beers, wine, and cocktails. Whether you're in the mood for a classic cocktail or simply a cold one after a long day, we've got you covered. So pinkies down and thumbs up, because when you're family, who needs formality?
Oh, hi there. I need some marketing. Who do you recommend?
Ken Collins Marketing.com.
I'll probably just get a hold of Ken Collins Marketing.com.
The sea, the back. Bladders emptied, personalities refreshed.
We on. All right, so you get started off on a tangent.
Yeah.
And I interrupt for commercials. So where were we?
So basically I am hooking up with this other lady after the divorce from my first wife. And she is finding other men and doing that thing. So we're finding other people and going our separate ways kind of thing. We still live in Virginia. But then in 99, I left Virginia and went to Georgia. She left Idaho and went to, I mean, she left Virginia and went back to Idaho. And so now we've got a country pretty much between us. And I didn't see him. I couldn't see him. And shortly after she did that, she hooked up with this 17-year-old boy. Of course, he was black. You know, I have nothing. Again, I mean, that's just a thing. It's an arbitrary thing. But for certain people in rural Idaho, that's a big thing.
I don't know.
So she showed up with this 17-year-old boy in Idaho, and they pretty much ran his ass out of town. Like, if you want to continue living and walking this earth, you're going to get out of here. And so they ran him out. So he went back to Virginia, and she didn't know what to do. She wanted him back. So she left all three kids in the care of a 14-year-old girl whose mom, who didn't know that was happening, and $20, and drove to Virginia to go find him.
Oh, my God.
And so this 14-year-old runs out of her $20.
Yeah.
And goes to her mom, like, Mom, I'm watching Kim's kids, but I ran out of money. I need food and diapers and everything like this. And so her mom's like, what is going on now? And so she called her family, Kim's family there in that town in Idaho, and brought them together and was like, hey, go get the kids. So they went and got the kids. And then they called me, like, hey, can you help out in this situation? I'm like, all right, I'll work out how I can get back there. So I worked out a plane trip back and two plane tickets
away
back from, actually, I was still in Virginia at the time. Anyway, from Idaho to Virginia and went and picked up Josh and met her there when that happened. So she had made it back from Virginia, and she's like, my aunt has my kids, she won't give them back to me. I'm like, hey, you kind of screwed up, man.
Yeah.
And by the way, I'm taking my son, I'm going back to Virginia, and you need to work that out with your aunt. you need to make sure that she understands you're worthy of having those kids back before she will ever give them back to you. And she's a powerful woman, so you're going to have to work that out right.
You're on your own, baby.
So I took them back. She brought the kids back to Virginia. We did this whole thing. And so because he was, during the time I had him again on my own there, he was missing his brother, his sister, his mom. He was missing everybody. And I was working way overtime. I was working in the Air Force, and then I was working a full-time job after that to try and pay all the bills that the ex had racked up.
Sure.
And all this kind of thing. So I never saw him. He was just in daycare all the time. So I was even absent when I had him. And because of that, I thought, no, he's better off, you know, if she's getting her shit together, he's better off with his brother and sister at least,
right,
mom and the whole thing. And so I gave him back and then promptly moved to Florida. And then she moved back to Idaho. So now we've got a country between us. And she was playing the card of I've got your kid kind of a thing. And it was screwing up my next marriage at this point, my second marriage. It was screwing with that. And there was just too many things. So I cut it off. I'm like, no, you're not doing this to me. You are a psycho person. And you're not holding this card over my head, man.
Did you call her a psycho?
Yeah. So I'm cutting it off. I'm cutting it off. So I cut off all communication. So I was not there for my kid for several years until
recently.
Layoff, 2001, 9/11, layoff, divorce, just like my life completely fell apart. I ended up back here, and a little bit after getting back here in Farmington, kind of reestablished contact and went up a couple of times for visits and whatnot. And so I got to see him a little bit, and because it's shorter to get from New Mexico to Idaho.
Yeah, sure.
So saw him a couple times, but then there was one year that, one, I was, you know, I was working at Walmart. I was making $800 a month, and $400 of that was going to Kim for child support. So I had no money, and it would cost me like $200 in gas money to get up there and back and everything. And so it was really hard on me to get up there and see him. But I did a few times, and then there was one year I was supposed to go for Christmas. The weather was like really, really bad. I've got to go through Soldier Pass and the whole thing, and everybody was pleading with me, please do not drive that, don't drive that. And plus it was a financial strain. I was like, okay, I'll skip this trip. And that was devastating for him. In his eyes, I had promised that, yeah, I was going to be there for Christmas, and I broke my promise, and he didn't want to talk to me anymore. And so I never made any more trips, and there was some phone back and forth, but it was only ever when she would call me saying, you need to talk to your son. And again, it was just this insanity starting up from her point again. And I was like, I've got so much really crappy things going in my life. I cannot have her doing this to me. And so I cut it off again. And there was nothing until he was graduating high school. He was graduating high school, and they sent me an invitation to his graduation. I was like, oh, yes, yes, I want to go to that. And so I made it up to his graduation. But it was iffy whether he was going to allow me to do that at this point, because I was just absent the whole time.
Yeah, now he's a teenager.
Yeah, now he's 18 years old. He's making his own decisions. And I was on the drive. It's like a 12-hour drive to get there. That whole 12 hours, I'm texting him. Don't text and drive. But I was texting him. Texting him the entire trip up there, trying to convince him to please let me just at least be there. If you don't want to talk to me,
fine,
you don't have to talk to me, but
graduate.
I want to be there. So he agreed. I met him real quick for like 5 minutes before the graduation, and he agreed, okay, yeah, you can go. And so I went, and then I talked to him for like 10 minutes after the graduation, man, it was such a huge thing. I was carrying all this hate, and I kept cutting off my own son because of all the hate that I had for his mother. And I can, you know, in those times I could justify that, looking back, I can't justify that. I'm the adult, and I made a conscious effort to not be in my son's life because I couldn't stand his mom. I couldn't stand what she was doing, who she was, how she manipulated things. So I had all kinds of excuses, but to him, they're excuses, man. Yeah, I wasn't there. I wasn't there. And it's not his fault. He's a child. He has no control over that
situation.
And didn't
need to be brought into that drama.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I have been struggling with that for a long time. I made those decisions to not be involved with my son. And that's not something that can be taken back. He has grown up without his father, without a father. And he knows. He knew me before. He knows who I am. It's not like he didn't know I existed or whatever.
Right, right.
He's known different. Me. And I was never, ever there for him. And that was my decision. So we've been kind of repairing this thing. We're doing this because I'm heading up there. I'm going up to see my granddaughter.
Yeah.
He's married now. He's got a granddaughter. He's turning one. By the time this airs,
this is
she
his
will.
His daughter.
Yeah.
Oh my God, man. And he's letting you come up?
Yeah. So we've been texting since his graduation about 6 years ago. So we've been texting over these last 6 years. Haven't seen each other since and haven't had phone calls because he was not ready for a phone call. He didn't want to do phone calls. He was fine with texting. You know, there's no voice, there's no emotions, there's no nothing. And we've been cool on the texting thing. So he'll check in with me now and then. He sends me pictures. He sent me pictures when he got married in 2020 that I couldn't be there for because everything was locked down.
How old is he now?
He's about 25, I think. Yeah, he was born in 97.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Freaking awesome.
Yeah. So I'm going up there. By the time this airs, I will have already been up there and back. But I'm going up there, and I'm super excited, one, to meet my granddaughter for the first time. I've got a granddaughter, so she's one. It's a little baby girl, man. Oh, my God, that's so amazing. Anyway,
is this your first grandchild?
His first grandchild, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Because he's my only child.
I'm not going to be able to live with you when you get back.
Right?
It's not going to be good.
Thank you. This is Celeste. She
Hi,
knows.
Celeste.
She knows
say hello. Come over here and say hello, Celeste.
Hello.
She takes really good care of us. We're triggers. Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
We're not too bad, are we? We
no.
Are, okay. Good.
We're pretty low maintenance.
Oh.
She's
listen,
saying that
can I
the
give
mic's
you
wrong.
My ex-wife's phone number?
Yeah,
so
tell
you can call
her
and tell her.
Yes.
Well. Low maintenance. Damn right I am.
But yeah, I mean, over the years I've learned, you know, I never thought about the whole absentee father thing. I had a father the whole time I was growing up.
Yeah,
I never thought
too.
About it. But I know Justin Hunt. Justin, he did a documentary actually on that, on absentee fathers and like the effect that it has. And it has a real effect on children. Differently on daughters and sons, but still an effect, you know?
I will say this. Oh, let's do a break real quick.
Okay, yeah.
Come back and I'll share some of my story. Folks, we're coming back, I promise, sometime tonight, I don't know.
Don't touch that dial. Or anything else for that matter. David and Ken are going to break for just a couple of minutes.
Whether buying or selling, our experienced realtors at Better Homes and Gardens Real Estate Golden Door are here to help. Come see us in beautiful downtown Farmington, New Mexico at 228 West Main Street. Check us out at goldendoorfarmington.com or give us a call at 505-325-4153.
Interwest Concepts is the proud producer of wonderful podcasts like Male Encounters of the Life Kind, The Glower Chronicles, and the flagship that started it all, The General's Wake Up Call. From TV and radio production to assisting with your next podcast idea, Interwest can do it all. To find out how to become a part of the family, head on over to our webpage,
interwestconcepts.com.
Now that wasn't too long, was it? On with the show.
Should we play funeral march music because we had some good air?
The air died.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, sometimes when I pass gas, that happens.
You wish it would die. Yeah. It smells dead.
That's right. What called up your ass and died? You know, my first, I'm a very blessed man. My first wife, I was chasing a career. And yeah. I mean, I was strong. You know, I was managing a Sears store before I turned 21 years of age. I was managing a clothing store before I turned, right after I turned 18 years of age. So I'm constantly chasing a career. And back in the early days with Sears, that company, it was a lot of work. I mean, yeah. I was putting in 80 hours a week easily. Sunrise, sunset, midnight, you know, it didn't matter.
Yeah.
And my first wife was such a strong personality that she... I am so blessed to have had her that she was the parent of that relationship. I have my two older kids. Nothing. My younger kid is good too. Don't get me wrong, but it's the fact that I was gone most of the time.
Right.
We were married.
Right.
But they didn't see me much.
Right.
You know. But we did split up when my youngest boy at that time. He's my oldest boy now. He was 5, I think, is when she and I, and that was after, I don't know, 10 years of marriage or 11, something right. like that. So it's nice to have the main difference for me, what was the salvation for me, was I had a strong woman that, and the other thing is, you know, she deferred to me, which is unusual, right. I think, even in me, because we've talked about this before.
Yeah.
If I had a certain thing that I wanted, way I wanted things done, she always deferred to me.
Okay.
When I got married the second time, that lady had 3 kids.
Right.
And then my 2. And I decided to buy a business in Texas.
Yeah.
Right. And so I went to her and I said, listen, I want the kids to go with me. I mean, she wasn't with anybody at the time. I'd like the kids to go live with me.
Yeah.
Right? So she said yes. She goes, I trust your judgment and your decision.
Wow.
And yeah. And so they live with me. Now, as they got older and got towards high school, I thought to myself, I'd like for them to graduate from Farmington High.
Yeah.
Right? So basically what was happening, they would live with me for a year and then they'd go back and be with her. But when the high school thing came around, we got together and I talked and I said, you know, I'd love for them to graduate from Farmington High. I don't have a problem. And she was starting to get stable. She had a significant other. And so I think they need to graduate from Farmington High, from FHS. I mean, like she and I did, right?
Yeah.
And she said, whatever you want to do. And I said, well, I think it'd probably be better. I'll continue to help and support whatever I need to do to help them to get. So they moved back up here and were with her the remaining 3 years that they went, well, a little more than that, except for a little time out of my middle boy's sophomore year. I was living in Durango by this time. And he called me and it was one of those things like he wants to come live with his dad. You know, he wants to see hanging with his dad for a while. Lived with another guy at the time, great roommate. He and I are still buddies. Matt, my oldest boy, calls him mom to this day because they were close, right?
Yeah.
And so, so he came to live with me in Durango for one whole school year. But then he sat down with me and he goes, you know, I think I'd rather graduate at Farmington High, and I'm like, whatever you want to do, it's up to you. At this time, he's 16, I guess, you know. I'm like, son, whatever you want. I mean, I'll support whatever you decide. I'll help whatever, right?
Yeah.
So he came back to Farmington and graduated at FHS. My youngest boy, a little different. His mom is a little bit more strong-willed than, and you know, it's just a different personality. But it wasn't any, she, it had, it, it didn't matter what I wanted, you know. She was her thing,
right?
You know, so she wasn't like my first wife or,
right,
you know, whatever,
right?
And she was actually my third. I don't even want to talk about the second. But nothing psychotic, and all of it was my fault. I'm gonna sit right here with my gin and juice.
Yeah.
Tell you that it was my fault. It was the wrong brain doing the thinking.
Sure.
You know, I've learned a lot. That's where I made my biggest mistake.
Yeah.
But I was absentee for my two older ones, right, for sure. The last one, the son that I have now, I was there. I left a six figure job in Phoenix, Arizona.
Yeah.
To come up here, took a pay cut, like half of what I was making.
Yeah.
So I could be close to him, right, because I felt like he needed my influence. Nothing against his mother,
right,
but I felt like he needed that positive male influence.
I mean, there's a reason there are two parents, right?
Exactly.
There's one influence and there's another influence, and both are important. So, yeah. You need your mother's influence, whether you're a woman or, you know, a boy or a girl, you need your mother's influence. Whether you're a boy or a girl, you need your father's influence. You need
wholeheartedly agree.
Those two influences.
I will say this, and I don't know how your son and his wife, how strong their marriage is, but I feel I'm extremely happy. And my prayer basically is that thank you for everything you've done for me.
Yeah.
But keep an eye out on my kids. Well,
right,
my daughter and my son, my older boy, they're married to two great people.
Yeah.
I mean, I couldn't have hand-picked them if I wanted to.
Yeah.
They're fantastic folks.
Cool.
And then my youngest boy he's seeing somebody. She's real sweet. I haven't met her face-to-face yet, but they seem pretty serious. And, you know, he's 19 and, you know, but he's also thinking with the wrong brain.
Sure.
You know, it's what you do at that age.
Right.
You know, your penis drives you more than anything else.
Yeah, does. I know.
It's like a compass, right? And you stick a magnet out there.
It's
going to point that way every time. How was that for an analogy?
And pull you that way.
That's right.
You have no choice in this matter. Yeah.
So, I feel there's a lot of trials and tribulations, but I feel where you're coming from. An absentee father. Well, I know I was in the early one. I was just very blessed to be married to a woman that grabbed on and she took off with it.
Yeah.
You know, very strong. And she and I are still friends to this day. But I don't think we could be together, but we're still buddies, you know.
Yeah, I mean, that's actually a healthy relationship, you know, to be at least friends, civil, and that.
I tell you another thing that I didn't do this with my youngest is, Linda and I made sure that we never, the kids, when we broke up, they were both in shock.
Yeah.
They had no idea there was anything even wrong.
Right, right.
I think when my last relationship and the son that I have now, when we broke up, he goes, "God, it's about damn time." I don't know, but that's what I'm probably, you know, my mind, I'm thinking to myself.
Yeah.
But, you know, oh my God, man, what the hell are you guys doing together?
Yeah. When your kids are like, seriously, wrap it up.
Wrap that up. But
Oh, man, we're almost out of time.
We
know what we got to do?
What's that?
We got to talk about the doghouse.
Yes, I'm glad you brought that up because he came to us, Scott came to us, and it's spelled D-A-W-G.
D-A-W, the doghouse.
The doghouse.
We're looking out the window at it right now.
By the time this airs, or it should be close to time this airs.
By the time this airs, it should be open.
Man, he said, how many freaking hot dogs do they have?
Right?
And brats.
Oh, God. Yeah, so it's a food truck.
A food truck.
Here at Traeger's. And it's parked out back. It may be mobile at certain points.
That's kind of scary if it's out back.
Yeah.
Don't tell them what's in there if it's out back.
But they're going to have like all kinds of crazy hot dogs, like regular hot dogs and brats. And didn't he mention like a pizza dog?
Something.
Like there's a million different hot dogs.
I want to go, slow down, man. Hold on.
And then like wings and stuff, like all kinds of really cool, like hot wings and different kinds of wings and they'll have a
here's
whole
what
thing.
I would suggest is go to Traeger's website
because
they'll have all that information on there and I'm not sure that I think it's traegersbar.com if I'm not mistaken
I think it is
I don't remember, let's look it up. Make sure we have the right address.
Just search Traeger's Farmington NM.
Yeah, and Traeger's Bar.
Traeger's Bar.
Because there's Traeger's Grill. I think there's a grill.
There are some other Traeger's type of establishments in, elsewhere in the country.
Yeah.
But I think they're the only Traeger's of that name of whatever.
There's only one Traeger's Bar in Farmington, New Mexico.
Yeah.
So look up Traeger's Bar in Farmington, New Mexico.
Right.
That'll get you the right spot. We're right across the street from San Juan College. Scott Micklin, we know, is over there watching us.
And come down here and get a freaking dog.
A dog.
Or some wings.
I can hardly wait till that gets open because you know we're going to be sitting out there.
Oh, my God. Yes. I'm going to need that.
Did you ask Scott if we got all we could eat?
Right. We need to work that deal out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Before we sign a new contract with him.
He might regret that deal. But, yeah, all you can
Well, you know, and I know the first thing out of my mouth, if I was Scott, was like, well, for you only, nobody else, for you only, he has no idea how many hot dogs I get.
Yeah, exactly. I'm no slouch either, man.
All right, brother. I guess that's about it, unless you got anything you want to add.
No.
Be sure and email us, mailencounters.lifekind@gmail.com.
Yeah.
We would love to hear from you.
Yeah.
We're going to come up with the bar exam.
Yeah.
We've got to get that rolling because I think that's a great idea.
We need to add it to the website somehow. That's what we need to do.
Yeah. Well, I'll ask my website guy.
Yeah. Ask him.
You asshole. All right, brothers. Let's just get out of here.